This is Twit.
And this is a story that, I mean, if you're following anything in the world of technology the past 3 weeks, I'd say, it's been somewhere around there anyways. You keep hearing about this whole Facebook, Instagram, teens, body image story that keeps bubbling up. And today is actually a pretty notable day in this story. So I can kind of bring you up to date here. The big news of the day, Facebook, well, just to kind of catch you up anyways, Facebook has been under fire due to reporting from the Wall Street Journal that claims that the company has done in the past significant research into the effects of Instagram and basically into the effects of its products on teenage mental well-being. And a lot of these studies, based on Wall Street Journal's reporting initially, showed particularly negative outcomes from from the use of services like Instagram. Facebook, in light of that, still kind of chose to play things in a public light. Zuckerberg, for instance, spoke in March at a congressional hearing. He stated then, quote, "The research that we've seen is that using social apps to connect with other people can have positive mental health benefits," which, I mean, there may be some truth there, but that's just one example. And if that was taken by itself, it'd be like, okay, well, I understand. Facebook itself, in response to the journal's reporting here, stated it is simply not accurate that this research demonstrates Instagram is toxic for teen girls. Okay, that's a little bit more specific and interesting, because now we have access to the content of these studies, the content that specifically the Wall Street Journal had formulated all of its reporting on this around. And it basically comes in the form of six individual PDFs, six individual reports and research that they derived this information from. One summary slide, for example, read plainly, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls." Another one read, "Teens blame Instagram for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups." That's notable. But this one's pretty big too here. 32% of teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse. 32%. That's pretty, I mean, and I'm not surprised at that. I feel like this whole, you know, how we feel about ourselves, body image, you know, outside of just this one group of teen girls who are very, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for? Maybe have a higher likelihood of not having the capacity to kind of work through these things in a healthy way, right? Like being pulled down the rabbit hole, so to speak, you know, might be more affected by this stuff. But outside of all of that, I do feel like, you know, that's part of the reason why I don't use Facebook, because I realized, not from a body image perspective, but I realized at a certain point that when I used Facebook, I didn't feel better. I felt kind of worse by what I was finding on Facebook on a regular basis. And if something makes me feel worse, I choose to not use it anymore. So that's what I did. Anyways, getting back to these reports, like I said, we have these PDFs now. Facebook actually released a couple of the PDFs in question from the Wall Street Journal reporting. The Wall Street Journal then followed up with a total of 6 PDFs of the research. So the 2 that Facebook released plus an additional 4. And all of that together, like I said, formed the foundation of the journal's initial reporting. They include things, you know, reports like teen girls' body image and social comparison on Instagram, appearance-based social comparison on Instagram. A lot of really interesting, yeah, we're showing it on the screen right now. It's obviously, you know, screen captures of this reporting and fascinating to read through. But just really interesting to take what you read in these reports and compare them against what Facebook has been saying publicly and what they continue to say. Because today, there was a Senate hearing. It actually, I think, just concluded in Washington, D.C., focused on the impact of Instagram on younger users as a result of this reporting. Facebook testified itself that the reporting was not a bombshell, that it had made changes in light of the research. Just interesting how, you know, how much they are kind of pushing back on this and saying, "Eh, what you're reading, you know, it's out of context." You know, their PDFs that they released, they did annotate it deeper than what was already there to kind of provide extra context. But I don't know, through my reading through, through some of these PDFs, it really seems like the proof is in the pudding. It's hard to do this research. It's hard for me to understand how you do this research, how you recognize, that 32% as just one example, and yet you still come out publicly and you say, no, actually, this is everything's all good. It's cool. In fact, why don't we create a product that is Instagram for kids? I think that's a great idea. Now, they have chosen to undo that and not release that product anymore, thankfully. But anyways, I'm curious to hear what you have to think about all of this, Micah.
Yeah, the thing that struck me the most was the fact that it feels gaslighty almost on the part
really
of Facebook
does.
Because you can look at it and see yourself all of this stuff, and the company feels like it's okay to just go, oh no, that's not what it is. Oh, you're misunderstanding. You don't get it. When these things are so clearly and easily written out in plain text, it's not any kind of vague text that kind of suggests trends or anything like that. These are numbers. These are cold, hard numbers and research that's been done. And so I just feel like all Facebook has done is make the whole situation worse for itself, because it's made the company seem like they are, either trying to hide something, or they are, they're accused of being out of touch and not holding themselves responsible for the things that the company is responsible for. And so this is just another one of those examples where very clearly this is the company having information that suggests that there is a responsibility that they have to do better by their users, and in particular groups that are perhaps more vulnerable to these kinds of concerns. And yet they say, oh no, that's not what they, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think gaslighting is the perfect word. I'm happy that you mentioned that, because that does match what I feel about a lot of this. It really does feel like look the other way. Senator Ed Markey in the in the Senate hearing just a few hours ago happened to be, if you remember, a driver of COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. That was created back in the 90s. That was passed into law back in the 90s. He actually said Instagram is the first childhood cigarette meant to get teens hooked early, which is a pretty appropriate, some might consider that a pretty appropriate reference, which, I mean, really, if, and especially if you're making a product like Instagram for kids. And, by the way, Messenger Kids exists, right? That's a messaging app by Facebook that's designed and targeted at kids. And yes, while the argument can be made that, if they're going to use them, they might as well use these products that are made designed for them instead of creating fake accounts and whatever. It still also serves the purpose of introducing these younger users to a product early on. And, if they're using this for 2, 3, 4 years as they're getting older, through their young childhood and, into their teen years, one could imagine that makes them more likely to become longer term users of these products as well. So, I mean, the comparison to cigarette, I mean, that's going to catch a lot of headlines and everything. It's really headlineable, but yes. I think it's a pretty appropriate comparison. The hearing, and speaking of COPPA, the hearing did shed light on the need to update COPPA, because like I said, this was passed into law back in the 90s, and the technology landscape has changed a lot since the 90s. For example, like 13 and up seems to be that is, according to COPPA, the number, the age that children are allowed to use these apps. Is that too young? Is that too young when you take the power and influence and the gaming that happens behind the scenes based on the development of these things? Is 13 actually too young compared to where we are at now to say, hey, actually, it's kind of like, it's kind of like drinking or drugs. I mean, you could compare it in the same way. Be like, well, you know what? Like, you know, for a number of reasons, it's not, you're not able to drink, you know, under the age of 21, but there might also be a developmental aspect to it. Not just that's a bad idea, but, you know, brains are developing and there's certain things that are going on. And I think that kind of applies here too. So,
especially given we know there's been plenty of research, there needs to continue to be research done on it, but there's been plenty of research done on the effect of these reward cycles that social media provides, where you are getting dopamine hits when you get likes and interactions. And in a brain that is still developing, to have those dopamine cycles be gamed by this system at such a young age, that's scary because we don't know what the long-term effects of that are. There was recently, I think it was in a neuroscience journal, but I'm not quite sure which one. I remember seeing it kind of fly by, a piece kind of talking about the rates of depression and anxiety and looking at the role that these dopamine cycles play in that, you know, in that outcome, and the fact that we do have increased rates of depression and anxiety, and how social media may have, you know, a larger impact than we even realize right now. But when you combine that with a brain that is still far more neuroplastic, so to speak, it's potential to reshape the way that the brain is developing and shape the way that the neural pathways are developing. That is something that you have to say, okay, maybe there does need to be some deeper looks into this and some better regulation. As you said, if you have to wait till you're 21 to drink, you have to wait till you're 18 to vote, you have to wait till you're 16 to drive, and then whatever else falls in, you know, in those rules, and 25 until rental cars don't cost as much, then maybe we should look at, it takes more than 13, because right now I think it's from the perspective of keeping the child safe in terms of their privacy is sort of the, you know, the roundabout way that this is being looked at. But let's talk about mental health and you know, neurological function. All of those things are also important, and the impact here could be quite terrible. So yeah. And again, we have Facebook here saying what you're looking at is not what you're looking at. And you go, no, but I'm looking at it. I see it. And they say, no, that's not what you're looking at. And it's just really, it feels like typical Facebook behavior.
Yeah. Totally agree. So that's my big story of the week. Certainly this is evolving, ongoing. That hearing just happened, so I'm sure we're going to see some interesting news on this over the weekend as that kind of seeps into the technology ecosystem. And certainly Leo and the crew are going to talk about this on This Week in Tech this Sunday. So tune in for that. Actually, Denise Howell is going to be on that episode as well. So I'm super curious to hear her perspective on this. It's a great week for her to be on.